The incumbent powers that be continue to strike back at Uber, the car service. Today, South Korea indicts Uber's American CEO.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and the Economy from Washington today. There's word that prosecutors in South Korea have indicted the CEO of Uber, the San Francisco-based company where customers summon rides using their smartphones, facing bans from India to Spain. The new problems in Seoul, where we find the BBC's Steve Evans. Hello, Steve.
Good day to you.
What is this? The CEO of the car service Uber is under indictment in South Korea?
He is. Travis Kalanick is charged with violating transportation law in South Korea. And the argument is that he's the CEO of the company, which breaks the law. So the South Korean authorities say Uber has been facing bans in Thailand, in India, in Spain, and in Holland. When you get a new technology threatening an old technology, you have the laws in place for the old technology, and the new technology comes and bumps up against those laws. And what sometimes happens if a new technology is very effective is that the law gets changed slowly.
But indictment of the CEO? I mean, if Stephen Kalanick got on a flight from San Francisco to Seoul, would he get busted if he got off the plane?
I mean, the indictment isn't there now. This is what the prosecution is suggesting. But absolutely, if he travels into this jurisdiction as somebody indicted by a court, he could be arrested and put before that court. He's facing lots of arguments in lots of jurisdictions. And each time he says, we do it legally, and furthermore, the people love us. So it's the same kind of dispute, if you like, as is happening in lots and lots of places.
The BBC's Steve Evans in South Korea. Steve, thank you.
You're very welcome.
It is an especially sad time of year to have to sign up for unemployment benefits. In about an hour and a half, the U.S. government releases its count from the last week of people signing up for benefits for the first time. Consider this the last snapshot of the U.S. labor market before 2014 comes to an end. Something that could be helping is seasonal employment, jobs for the holidays, mainly in retail. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Even in the depths of the recession, retailers hired a few hundred thousand extra workers to stock shelves and run registers. But it'll be double that this year, as many as 800,000, says John Challenger at outplacement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas. Plus, people have been getting off unemployment and into jobs all year, putting more money in their pockets.
3 million more people working now than there were in November a year ago adds to the spending power during the season.
Holiday jobs aren't great jobs, a lot of them, part-time and temporary, but says Christy Stromberg at job site Simply Hired.
Some people are looking for that. One of our highest job search keywords is part-time.
Some of these seasonal jobs turn permanent, but only about 1 in 10, says Challenger.
For the most part, the jobs added to the economy go away once we hit February to March.
And so does the extra spending power those workers had through the holidays. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The 100 share index in London is up 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. The Dow is still above 18,000, record territory. Oil, needless to say, is down again this morning, down 1.7%, using the Texas price to just over $56 a barrel. Hi, this is David Brancaccio, host of the Marketplace Morning Report. Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that could not have happened without support from listeners like you. So please, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift, really in any amount, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. Russia's currency has been stabilizing over the last week after Russia told its big state-owned companies like Gazprom to sell their foreign currency domestically and buy Russian rubles. Today, the currency is up slightly at 54.6 to the dollar. Still, the gyrations are being felt far and wide, including in Britain's capital, where Russians, in a near panic, are buying up as much British real estate as they can to serve as a safe haven for their money. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
President Putin once dismissed Britain as a small island nobody pays any attention to anymore, least of all the Russians. That hasn't been Gary Hersham's impression.
In the last few weeks, we've noticed an upturn in the number of inquiries we've had from Russian purchasers looking to buy properties in prime central London.
Hersham, the founder of the upscale Beecham Estate, says he has half a dozen Russian clients clamouring to spend $30 million each on a London home.
These are all cases of people wishing to live in London more or less permanently.
And he's not the only London realtor enjoying a boom as Russians scramble to protect their wealth. Becky Fatimi of Rockstone.
To give you an indication, well, in the last week we've registered 6 new Russian clients.
In the world of the super-rich, this passes for a stampede. They're coming to London, says Becky, because it's home from home. 250,000 mostly wealthy Russians already live here.
It works for them due to its proximity to the south of France, Cannes, Monaco, Ibiza. New York is a 7-hour flight. Russia is a 4-hour flight.
Also, rich Russians are made very welcome. With more than $15 million to invest, they can apply for citizenship after just 2 years. But one well-known realtor says the Russian bonanza could be short-lived.
I think there will be a slashing of demand from Russian buyers in London and indeed in other major cities.
Russell Quirk, boss of the eMove online realtor, says the current flurry of interest is from Russians who anticipated the ruble collapse and got their money out beforehand. Now he thinks there could be a Russian sell-off at the top end of the London market.
You might be persuaded to liquidate your UK assets in order to have money because your Russian assets have plummeted in value.
London realtors seem undismayed. They're confident that if Russian money does dry up, there'll be plenty more from the rest of the world to take its place. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And we led with the Uber South Korea story. We'll end with Uber Australia. The California-based company has now officially apologized for jacking up its prices as people used its service to flee downtown Sydney, Australia during that hostage tragedy last week. Truly sorry, Uber says, for rates quadrupling during the crisis. It did drop prices back down after complaints of price gouging when people wanted to get home as Sydney went into a kind of lockdown. Uber uses an algorithm to raise prices when demand goes up. See the algorithm in action for yourself if you want an Uber car New Year's Eve. In Washington today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.